As soon as we start on the inner path to enlightenment, we begin to wonder about our own personal life. And that becomes very important to us. Even to the point where sometimes it could make an aspirant rather selfish, because he becomes more interested in himself, his own personal life, than other people around him. This is one of the things that should really be avoided. And again, a complete change of perspective is needed. When we change our perspective and begin to realize that the beautiful body of the soul, which has been growing through the many, many lifetimes that we have spent on the earth, it's an indestructible body. And each lifetime, it grows a little bit stronger in its inner nerve system. That is called the soul or the psyche. And this body has been in existence for maybe 1,000 years on this planet through the reincarnation process. And it is rather mature when the individual asks for the realization of the self. It has lived so many lifetimes and gone through so many different experiences that in its maturity, it wants its last experience on this planet, and that of self-realization. So therefore, our individual existence, our individual life, should be identified with the immortal body, not with the physical body, not with the emotional body, not with the intellectual body, not with the astral body, which of course is the instinctive intellectual body, but with the body of the soul that has come along and had one body after another. It's come along on the physical plane, had a physical body. Then it was overshadowed by an astral body. Then it was overshadowed by another physical body. Then it was overshadowed by an astral body. Then it was overshadowed by a physical body and an intellectual body. And the layers went on to the body of the soul, the instinctive, the intellectual, the physical. And now, in its maturity, the layers are coming off again. We drop off the intellect. We drop off the instinctive actions and reactions. And the only thing we want to keep is the physical body and the body of the soul. And that is the path. That is the path that we're on. And when this begins to happen, when the beautiful, refined body of light and the physical body merges one, we see light all the way through the physical body, right? Into the feet, into the hands, through the head, through the torso, through the spine. We're just walking in a sea of light. The inner light is so beautiful. All day long, my head has been filled with light. This is what it looks like. It feels like that if I were to reach up and put both hands around the top of my head, there wouldn't be a head there. It feels like that there's nothing there. It just goes on and on and on into endless space as I look back up within the head. Now that's what the top of the head looks like. Just a clear light that goes on and on, like you're looking into space through the top of your head. Now when I look into the back of my neck, I see an array of, they look like wires. And these, of course, are the nerve currents that run through the spinal cord. And they're all bright and active and scintillating, drawing energy from the central source of energy. And of course, if you looked into the central source of energy, what would you see? You'd see light coming out of nothing. That's what it looks like. Light coming out of nothing.
The self God is within all of this. It is beyond all bodies. It is beyond all form. It is beyond all intellect, beyond time, beyond space. That is the big realization on this planet, the thing that should be yearned for, sought for. All desires should be pointed in that direction. And then once realized, then you live out the life of the physical body and do what you can do in service to fellow man who is also coming along the same path that you have walked on before. All knowing also is right within you. This body of light of the soul is the body of the superconscious mind. It's all knowing. We have to approach it through the physical brain, and it takes a little time to draw forth inspiration and knowing. But the more refined the physical body becomes, the more like this soul body, the knowing is there, superconsciously. It's a beautiful thing to think about, that all knowing is within man. Everything that has been brought through all books, all systems, all religions, all philosophies have come through man. But not through the intellectual man or the instinctive man, but through the man whose body of his soul and his physical body have merged as one. There are other things that are within us too. Even the devil that they talk about, it's also right within us. That's the instinctive mind. That's also the intellectual mind. That's the doubter that says, I don't know if I should be on the path to enlightenment, or perhaps maybe I should be doing something else. That's the area of the mind that causes us to argue with ourselves or have a mental argument with a friend of ours. That's the antagonistic force of the instinctive area of the mind, as well as the intellectual area of the mind. And while this is going on, what does the body of the soul, the real body of you, what does it do? It's about its business. Working, learning, studying on inner planes of consciousness and waiting for the instinctive and intellectual and physical elements to grow up a little bit and merge. For life is just a tremendously great experience. Each lifetime has been a great experience. The more experiences we can have during a lifetime, and approach those experiences in a positive way, the more we begin to crush out the instinctive elements, the more we begin to mold the intellect so it is like the superconscious mind rather than being like the instinctive area of the mind. The more we can begin to mold the physical atoms so that they become closer attuned to the spiritual forces emanating from the soul body. The more experiences we can have and face those experiences positively, the faster we evolve. The less experiences we have, the slower we evolve. The knowing of how to handle each experience that comes to us in our lifetime comes from the soul. It's our superconscious self. The instinctive mind will want to run after certain experiences and be repelled by other experiences. It is the area of duality, of likes and dislikes. The instinctive mind will react and resent experiences of a certain nature. The intellectual mind will rationalize,
other types of experiences that happen to us during a lifetime. Argue them out and try to find out reasons why. The superconscious mind of the soul will know the reason why. It'll come in an intuitive flash. If it doesn't matter anyway. The spiritual body of you, which is permanent, has always remained constant right out of the animal kingdom. When it individualizes itself as an individual soul, animals are under group souls, and it has matured through the life, it's always been constant because it's in direct tune with the constant central source of all energy of the universe. This one source of energy feeds through your spiritual body and out through the intellectual sheath, the astral sheath, the emotional sheath, and the physical body. So identify yourself as the inner man. Never see yourself as an outer man. Then experience won't be reacted to. It'll be understood from a mountaintop consciousness. Then experience won't be sought for the enjoyment of the experience. The self will be sought for, and the experience will be part of the path to you. Each experience that we have is a good experience because it molds us, it shapes us, just like an artist would mold a piece of clay. From an ugly hunk of clay can emerge a divine being molded by the artist. In that same way, experiences of life, even those that boomerang back on us and we think are terrible, mold us. But they only mold us quickly and benefit us tremendously if we hold our perspective as the inner man, the timeless man, the immortal being. Only in this way can this happen. That's the attitude, the thoughts we must have as we go along on the path of enlightenment. The mere fact that you want self-realization in this life means that you have been through hundreds of thousands of experiences. You've been nearly everything that there is to be on this planet. And now in your last lifetime, you are finishing up the experiential patterns that you didn't handle in a life prior. Life is a series of experiences, one after another. Each experience can be looked at as a classroom in the big university of life. Each experience can be looked at as a classroom in the big university of life if we only approach it that way. Who is going to these classrooms? Who is the member of this university of life? It's not your instinctive mind. It's not your intellectual mind. It's the body of your soul, your superconscious self, that wonderful body of light is maturing under the stress and strain as the intellect gives back its power to the soul, as the instinct gives back its power to the soul, as the physical elements give back their power to the soul and all merge into a beautiful oneness. This is the way the beings of the new age are going to walk on earth. Each one will have light flowing through his whole body, and he will inwardly see his body glowing in light even in the darkest night. The good and bad concept should be thrown out with a lot of other things, including the up and down concept. There is no good, there is no bad. You don't raise your consciousness, nor do you lower it. These are just concepts that have come in by various philosophers who have tried to explain these deeper teachings the very best that they could. What is bad is good. And what is good is good.
and a higher state of consciousness and a lower state of consciousness, they don't exist at all. We simply hold a certain perspective of awareness, and we look out, and we go in. When you look out through the eyes of your soul, it's like a great executive in a large building penthouse office. And his desk is right in the middle of that office. And he looks out and he sees the people working around him. Then he looks further out and he sees the vast panes of window. Then he looks further out and he sees the city below. And he sees the sky. He sees the traffic. Then he looks back into himself. He sees his subconscious mind with thoughts about his home life and other things that do not involve his immediate surroundings in this grand office. He looks deeper into himself and he has an intuitive flash. Something has come to him, how he can help his enterprise be moved and motivated in a more dynamic way. He looks deeper within himself for the source of where that intuitive flash comes from. Begins to see light within his head, light within his body. Again, he becomes conscious of people working around him. Again, he becomes conscious of the panes of the window. He has to leave this office. He goes down in an elevator. He walks out onto the street. He is the same being. His perspective is an inner perspective. He doesn't go up and down in consciousness. The mystic does not go up and down in consciousness. It only seems like that. But that is not actually what happens, and it makes it very difficult when we hold the up and down and good and bad concept, because they work in time sequences. If we are bad, it takes a certain amount of time before we can become good. And if we are good, there's a great possibility that we might be bad a certain period in our life. If we are in a high state of consciousness, percentages have it that we may be in a low state of consciousness. And if we're in a low state of consciousness, it's going to take a lot of time to climb up high and we might fall down, so what's the use? We have all of these semantic connotations with the words good and bad and up and down, and therefore we throw them out of our mystical vocabulary and the connotations that go along with them. We say we go within, deep within. We say we come out into outer consciousness. We say there is no good. There is no bad, there is just experience. And within each experience, there is a lesson. Some experiences might make our nervous system react so strongly that it may take hours to pull ourselves together. But once we pull ourselves together, that exercise evolves the body of the soul that much more. We have transmuted tremendous instinctive and intellectual energies into this body of the soul. We've fed it. We've given it a good meal. And we never face that same experience again, nor react the same way. We approach it from a mountaintop consciousness because we've conquered those instinctive elements brought over from the animal kingdom. Our intellect has been trained by family and friends, school teachers, business acquaintances. We have to build a new intellect, an intellect from the soul out into the intellectual mind, rather than from the instinctive area of the mind into the intellect, to be successful on the path of enlightenment. If we look at the past and we look at the future as both a series of dreams. The only thing that we are concerned with is our immediate reactions and what we carry with us now. The past is there to test us, and the future is there to challenge us. We cannot change the past, but we can change how we react to what has happened to us in the past. And we can change the future anytime we want to. The soul builds a body around us in this life. That's what's happened to all of us. This body goes through the same experiences year after year. The emotions go through the same experiences year after year until we build up strong enough within ourselves to face the experience without reaction to the experience. Then we go into a new series of experiences. Give yourself a test to prove this out and test yourself in this way. Go to a movie, one that will make you laugh and make you cry and make you suffer right along with the players. And that's how we live our life. We laugh, we cry, we suffer. We have joy, we have peace, like actors on a great stage. Then go to the same movie the next day and go through the same emotions again. Another cycle in the same life pattern. Then go to the movie the next day and go through the same emotions. Then go the next day and you'll find you will go through the same emotions, but not quite as well. Then go the next day. You'll find your mind begins to wander into how the film was produced. Just where the cameraman was standing when he filmed this emotional shot. You're becoming mystical. That is how the mystic faces his experiences. How was this produced? Where was the cameraman? Go the next day, and you'll again be distracted. You'll wonder the voltage that runs the carbon arc light that penetrates the film. Then go the next day. You won't be involved in the picture at all or the emotion. You could care less. You had that experience. You lived it through and you lived it out. It was neither good nor bad. It was neither high nor low. But you're completely involved in the cameraman, the actors, the personality of the actors. You begin to get perceptive and you see that this particular actor was saying something and going through something, but thinking about something entirely differently. Wasn't even thinking about or really feeling what they were saying. You didn't catch that the first time. You were blinded by emotion. Go again and again and again. And finally, you'll get involved with yourself and the people sitting around you. And you'll start having a new set of experiences. Someone's eating popcorn on the left side and someone's smoking on the right side, and you get up and move. The very first time you went to the movie, you weren't even conscious of anyone around you. And finally, after going to this same movie for 2 weeks, you sit down and you start breathing and going within yourself, and you're not conscious of someone on the left side or someone on the right side or the film or the light penetrating the film or what's on the film. You're breathing, you're going within yourself, and you begin to enjoy the bliss of your own being. This is what a mystic does in life. That's a wonderful meditation. If you don't want to go to the same film 2 or 3 weeks, night after night after night, well, then just pretend that you are. Meditate on it. And in the course of a short meditation, you will see how a mystic lives his life. Now, of course, one film and its nerve-wracking experiences conquered, there's always another film being played in town, and you can start right over again. The same thing we do in our experiences. We go through one set of experiences, we react to them, we go within ourselves, we lose consciousness of the experience itself because we know how it was created, we studied it out so well. It's come to us in intuitive flashes, Then we go into the next movie, the next scene. Now, when we want to understand our series of experiences, the mystic doesn't analyze himself. He doesn't go through the emotion of, why did this happen to me? What did I do to deserve that? What did this experience come to me for? I want to know the reason. And only when I know the reason can I go on. This binds him to the intellectual area of the mind. He lives his experiences in the consciousness of the eternity of the moment. And if an intuitive flash, a mountaintop consciousness comes to him where he can see how he fit into the experiential pattern, he accepts it. And he knows it's right because it permeates him so dramatically from the top of his head right through his entire body. And he waits for these intuitive flashes and he links one up with another. But he doesn't flow his awareness through the intellectual mind and spend time in that area to try to analyze each happening or each reaction, to try to justify it, to excuse it, or to find out why it has happened. He doesn't do that. Why? Because the soul, the superconscious mind, doesn't work that way. Superconscious mind and the body of the soul has been around a long time. And this immortal body of yours has been around a long time. And has seen many lives come and go, many experiences pass by the windows of its eyes. Some need no explanation because they're the playing out of vibrations. And others do need an explanation. The explanation that would come and impress you intellectually from your superconscious would give you power maybe to face an experience that was yet to come. So don't analyze every nuance of a reaction. Or don't try to anticipate the next series of experiential patterns. For life is a series of experiences. They're all great experiences. Hold your center. Find the place within you that has never, ever changed. It's been the same for many lives, that feeling that's been the same within you since you were a little child up to this very time. Find that, catch that vibration, and you've caught the vibration of the soul and identified it to your intellectual mind and to your instinctive area of the mind. Then build on that, work with that. Say to yourself, there's something within me that never changes, no matter what happens. Work with the analogy if you like. If your foot hurts, your head doesn't hurt. If you have a pain in your stomach, doesn't mean that you have a pain in your hand. In the very same way, if your emotions are upset and you're suffering, there's an area within you that's calm, peaceful, dynamic, a vibrant watching. That's the body of the soul. Work with that. Find that within you that has never changed, never will change, cannot change. All it can do is become more than what it is. This will give you understanding. This will allow you to inner search because you have an inner anchor, which you're always trying to get into. You've identified the core of yourself very, very thoroughly. And each time you have unwound the emotional patterns and the intellectual patterns of an experience, you have graduated out of that classroom. And you're on to greater and fuller experiences in this lifetime. If you'd like to live a lifetime where you've had no experiences at all, because you don't like experiences, you've had a lot of experiences that have been distasteful to you, you cannot do it on this planet. Lifetimes don't come about that way on this planet. But the core of you is the observer of all experience, of the emotional, the instinctive, the intellectual areas of the mind. Be that which never changes. Then what happens? When we become this spiritual body and we grasp that infinite intelligence of it, we are just in a state of pure consciousness. And we come into the clear white light. We have a wonderful foundation, the only foundation for self-realization at that point, piercing the last veils of the mind. For even light is mind. And consciousness is, of course, the mind itself. And then we merge with the self itself. So that's the path. Experience, harnessing the reactions to experience, becoming the body of the soul, merging that body with the physical body after the instinctive and intellectual elements have been harmonized, coming into the clear white light, and then the realization of the self. It's a beautiful path, it's a challenging path, and it's a path that you're on. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here listening to the story about the path. See awareness as a lotus flower. The lotus flower goes through many, many experiences. A few weeks ago in Bangkok, on Inner Search, we drove out into the Thai countryside. And we saw many, many lotus flowers growing wild. They're just beautiful. See awareness as a lotus flower. First, awareness is a seed. And it's breaking out of the instinctive elements of the hard shell of the seed. But it's living right within the seed. It's dynamic life. At that very time, tuned in with the central source of energy. Then it breaks out and it becomes roots. And awareness becomes a stem. Becomes conscious of water all around it. Finally, the stem merges above the water. And awareness has leaves and a bud. It's still limited awareness because it's not in its fullness. But as that awareness expands, it opens up into a beautiful lotus flower. Then creates more seeds for more flowers. This is the path of awareness. Become acquainted with the awareness that one beautiful, pure element of the soul, your superconscious body, which is easily found and easily discovered by simply closing your eyes and opening them and saying, I'm aware. Not necessarily of what you are aware of. Close your eyes. Say, I am aware. Awareness is closely identified to the realms of sight. Hearing, of course, too, but more predominantly sight. As awareness expands
And as awareness contracts, we find that we have power over awareness. It merely becomes a tool. The underlying power of awareness is the blissful state of the spiritual body of man, pure consciousness, the central source of all energies in its blissful, calm state. Meditate on awareness, being like a lotus flower. Meditate on man being like a lotus flower. He comes through the mud, his instinctive mind, and he's aware of the things of the instinctive mind, hate and greed and love and passion and jealousy and sorrow and happiness and joy and excitement. He comes into the intellectual mind. He becomes aware of ancient history and predictions about the future, politics, all sorts of systems, all sorts of organizations, institutions, and opinions of other people. This consumes and overshadows the soul, life after life after life, just as the desires and cravings of the instinctive mind overshadow the soul, life after life after life after life. But all this time, the body, the soul, is growing up. It's getting stronger. It's absorbing the reactions of each lifetime, drawing more energies from the central source of energy to build and to absorb these reactions. This is food for the soul. Then finally, awareness comes into its bud state. It said, here I am, a bud, and I'm out of the mud, and I'm out of the water. We'll look at the mud as the instinct. We'll look at the water as the intellect. And we'll look at the air as super consciousness. Now I want to unfold and be of service to mankind and everyone else who is unfolding. I see them all down in the mud, caught in the mud like I was at one time. Want to help them out of the mud. Then I see hundreds of people caught in the intellect. They're all in the water. They think they're a stem. But I know I'm a bud. Then the process on the path of enlightenment for this bud unfolding and awareness expanding. First, it becomes aware of the inner processes of the body and how breath controls thought. Then it becomes aware of the inner processes of the mind, how light moves through the body, how the mind of light begins to work, and it goes on unfolding and unfolding and unfolding and unfolding through the ages. If we look at the past as a catalog and the future as a planning book, and now as the only reality of time, we have dodged the past and we have dodged the future because we have brought them both into the eternity of the moment. The mystic on the path of unfoldment doesn't allow his awareness to go into the past and flow through all the yesterdays and relive in his mind what formerly happened to him physically. The mystic doesn't go into the future and live emotionally experiences that may or may not happen to him. The mystic remains in the present, right now, using the catalog of the experiences of the past and a planning book for his future. This makes him wise. For intellect, when it is correctly used at the right time, is wisdom. Holding the eternity of the moment, feeling,
and the feeling of the being within that has never changed. Finally, you don't even say, it's a being within. That in itself is duality. You just identify it as you. An immortal being who's lived for thousands of years, which is, never changes, except it unfolds more. And it lives now. The past and the future are only intellectual concepts that we live with and have been developed by man himself in that particular area of the mind. Life is a series of decisions also. One decision builds into another. To make a good decision, we have to, again, bring our total awareness to the eternity of the moment. If we project ourselves into the future and try to make a decision, we do not make a decision with wisdom. If we project ourselves into the past and in that way formulate our decisions, again, they're not wise decisions. Or they're decisions made through the powers of the intellectual or the instinctive area of the mind. The only good decisions come to us when we hold the consciousness of the eternity of the moment and go within ourselves for the answer. The best thing in making a decision is, when in doubt, do nothing. Have the subject matter so clearly in mind and so well thought out that soon the answer will be self-evident to you. There'll be just no other way to go. Good positive decisions bring good positive action and, of course, positive reactions. Decisions that are not well worked out, we jump into experiential patterns haphazardly or emotionally, bring reactions of an emotional nature that again have to be lived through until we cease to be aware of them and experience them emotionally. Each time we have a decision to make, it's a marvelous test in this classroom of experience. We can make a good decision if we approach it in the eternity of the moment. And of course, there are no bad decisions. If we make a decision that's different than what we would make in the eternity moment, we make it through the instinctive area of the mind or the intellectual area of the mind. We're not sure totally of ourselves. We do not have enough information to make a good positive decision. So when in doubt, making a decision, that's the time to know we have to collect up more information, think about it more, and each decision is the foundation for the next series of experiences. When you are in a sequential series of experiential patterns, you are not making decisions at that time. Only when your experiential pattern has come to an end and you're ready for a new set of experiences in certain areas of your life, those are the time when you make new decisions. Weigh carefully each decision because that is the rudder that guides your ship through the whole pattern of life. Think it over carefully. Go in for intuitive guidance. And nobody knows better than yourself, your own superconscious being, what is the next set of experiential patterns for you to go through
in your quest for enlightenment than you do. It's all based on decisions. Don't expect someone to make decisions for you. They're second-handed decisions, not the best. Others maybe can give a little bit of advice or just supply a different perspective or added information for you to make a better decision. But the decision you make yourself in any matter is the most positive, most powerful one, and should be the right one. Do it from the eternity of the moment. That is the state of awareness to hold. There are several ways we can make decisions, and there are guidelines to help us. There are basic principles that we can follow in life, that other people have followed, which help guide their decisions along. It worked out fairly well, so we can follow basic principles too. And we'll go in after a while to outlining some of these basic principles that help us make good, positive decisions. For we can learn by observing other people, the decisions they have made, the reactions that and experiential patterns that follow. We can learn by observing other people. The first faculty of the expression of the inner being of your immortal soul is the great power of observation and to learn through observation. As your individual awareness detaches itself from that which it is aware of, you have tremendous powers of observation, for you are a free spirit. You're just here on this planet to observe. And through your powers of observation, you can go through the experiential patterns of other people by observing what they're going through without having to go through them yourself. Some mystics live several lifetimes in one, in this way. Living by basic principles keeps awareness clean cut, pure, direct and positive, out of the areas of the mind that are confused, unwholesome, unhealthy, areas that react back upon the nerve system of the physical nature. When we are clean cut, our perception is precise. We make our decisions from an up-down point of view. Our path through life is guided by each decision that we make. When we make a decision, it has its reaction. If we do not make a decision, that has a reaction too. For then decisions are made for us by circumstance, other people, situations, or confusion. The confusion becomes so intense that finally we're forced into a decision. When we become accustomed to making one decision after another from an up-down point of view, our lives are guided in a systematic, positive, clean-cut, beautiful way. Who does the guiding? You do, with your awakened perceptive faculties. Basic principles for a good foundation in our lives can be established through consistency. The consistency in approach to what we're doing. A good habit pattern in living our life as we approach our inner life, the understanding of our inner life, the study of it, and the experience of it, has to be on a day-to-day basis. To develop a contemplative lifestyle that is sensible, that is positively worked out, and program that into our complete pattern of daily life gives us a foundation strong enough to face decisions and the ensuing experiences and the reaction to those experiences in a way that they enhance our spiritual unfoldment. Remember, the lifestyle that we have was programmed for us by mothers, fathers, Sunday school teachers, school teachers, people that we had just met along the way, and good friends. It's not a particularly good lifestyle in which to hold the perspective that we're an immortal being. It's a great lifestyle to hold the perspective that we're a temporal being and we're only here a few years and then we die. To develop a whole new lifestyle takes thought. Our desire has to be transmuted into doing that. The ordinary lifestyle of human consciousness, our desires generally are for things, for emotional experiences, for intellectual knowing, and that's all good. But they're not organized. We have to organize the tremendous power of desire so that it's transmuted and we desire the realization of the self more than anything else. Then you'll have enough desire left over to get things, to get happiness, and to get all the getting that humans want. But the tremendous force of desire is transmuted, the perspective is changed, we see ourselves as an immortal being, and we work consistently with our lifestyle, day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. Each decision that we make is an easier decision to make, and each reaction that we face it joyfully. Each meditation that we have is more profound than the last, and the spiritual being, the soul body, begins to merge with the physical body as the elements of the instinct and the elements of the intellect that have been supreme life after life after life begin to give up and transmute their energies into the immortal body of the soul. Look through your entire life and make a memo of each major experience in this life. Then surmise how many major experiences you've had for the last 10 lives. All the cumulative experiences have brought you to the point where you are now ready to turn inward and realize your infinite being. They've all been good experiences. The reaction to the experience has also been good. It brought you to the point where you're ready to sit down and say to yourself, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is the power of that which has never changed, which I am and can feel in every cell of my body? Where does the clear white light come from? What is the underlying power of pure consciousness out of which awareness emerges? All of this and more too, you'll ask yourself and get answers from within yourself as you, your awareness, as the lotus flower, begins to unfold. Always try to remember the reason why you're here. You're here to separate awareness from that which it is aware of and gain your own independence, your liberation,
from the instinctive area of the mind, when we're in it, we believe that everything we're going through is us. The intellectual area of the mind, when we're attached and in it strongly, we believe that that is us. When we're in the superconscious area of the mind, awareness is detached from that which it is aware of. We see ourselves as the traveler, traveling through all areas of the mind, not getting stuck in any one area. Then we're here to go in, to take awareness off the surface of the earth into outer space, or out of the instinctive and intellectual areas of the mind into pure superconsciousness, into the clear white light, so it permeates every cell of the body. We claim our real identity. It's there now. Claim it. We're here to realize the self. Have that one dramatic experience where everything that we thought was things is turned inside out and our whole perspective afterwards changes. That is the purpose for living on this earth. That is the purpose for being here this very moment. That is the purpose for my speaking to you in this way, to impress upon you very thoroughly that you're here for self-realization walking on this planet. Get it? Direct all your energies toward it. And then the tremendous power of desire will be for the one goal, not for the many goals which desires usually flow. When that happens, self-realization will come to you. It'll be very easy. One day, you will be self-realized.